Well, my brothers and sisters, you're in the studio with your brother Mel here on Gospel for the Glory of Jesus. And, you know, I'm truly excited about what we're about to do. We got an interview with one of the most famous people in Los Angeles, Coach Willie West Jr. He is the former coach of L.A. Crenshaw Cougars, and he is one of the most winning coaches in L.A., as a matter of fact. So he was there from 1971 until 2007. He's won more basketball games at Crenshaw High School than any other high school coach in the city of Los Angeles. He's won 802 games with 8 state titles, 16 city basketball championships, 28 league titles, and the high school international tournament championship in Denmark. And in 1995, the Crenshaw High School Physical Education Complex was renamed the Willie E. West Junior Pavilion. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing okay.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning. How are you?
And good morning, Pastor Johnson.
Hey, great morning, Minister Slade. Great to be back with you, sir.
Well, Coach, tell us a little bit about where you're from and what inspired you to be a coach.
Where am I from? I was born in Texas. I was raised in Houston. I went to high school in Houston, and then when I graduated, I moved to Los Angeles and to go to college. And from college, I went to secondary education.
Well, what inspired you to actually be a coach?
After taking an interview and passing a couple more classes, I was hired, given an assignment at junior high in Los Angeles, and I stayed there for years until they built Crenshaw. And I used to drive by behind Crenshaw, and when they were first building it, there was a lot of dirt. They had moved homes out of that area, and I just said to myself, I said, I'm going to teach at that school one day. Well, it was nothing but dirt, and then 4 years later, you know, after being in junior high, then I was hired at Crenshaw.
Well, you were actually one of the first coaches at Crenshaw High School, huh?
Well, I was, I went there in my second semester that it opened. They had hired like 8 or 9 other PE teachers. It was a large program. But they did hire me during that first year that Crenshaw opened up, but I didn't go there till the second semester.
And you found out that you were a fit for Crenshaw High School? I mean, did you love it when you first got there? Or how was it? How was it going?
When I first got there, you know, I was hired as the junior varsity baseball coach, but they had they called B and C basketball. And I was hired in that position, and I was there. I did that for 2 years, and then the baseball coach, who was the varsity coach, said, you know, he was going to stop coaching and go into administration. And you know, I said, well, if he's leaving, maybe I can get the varsity job, baseball job. And when he left, you know, they promoted me from JV baseball to varsity baseball. And so actually, I was the baseball coach, varsity baseball coach, before I was the basketball coach. And 2 years later, after being there, then the other coach was hired at Cal State LA as an assistant. And so I didn't even know I was going to be the coach. You know, I was never interviewed or talked to about being varsity coach. I had gone up to Crenshaw to watch the football team practice because they had a game that first week of school was out. This was during the summer when I went up there. And I was going to watch them practice. And I was met at the gate by some athlete saying, you're going to be the basketball coach. And I said, I'm already a basketball coach, but I was thinking B and C basketball coach. He said, no, you're going to be the varsity coach. And I say, well, no, I'm not, because no one had ever spoken to me about the fact that the other coach was leaving, and they definitely hadn't talked to me about being the coach, he said, but they say you're going to be the basketball coach.
Well, I guess both Crenshaw and you were lucky because it was kind of like a job. You just kind of fell into it. God opened up a door for you and you walked right in.
Yeah, well, I was fortunate enough to be in the right place at the right time.
So I know that coaching back then was kind of difficult for an African-American, for a black coach. How do you find the differences between there and now? I mean, I know you got a lot of opposition back then.
Most of the coaches, there were very few African-American coaches, and I knew of one that I knew the other one. But it was like, now that I thought about it, it was like maybe two of them.
Yeah.
One at Jordan High School, and the other one was at Fremont High School. But that's all that I remember. But I know I was official. When I was officiating, I would go to those other schools, and I didn't know that they were white coaches. And so I didn't ever see very many black coaches.
Yeah, I know I went to school in the 60s, and I don't think there were any then. So by the time the 70s came along, you know, they were starting to move African-Americans into the coaching positions at the high school. And I see that you started in the 70s. So I know it was kind of difficult for you at those times. How was it in teaching the athletes? Was there any opposition from the athletes that you were coaching at that time? Or were most of the athletes on your team were all black, though, right?
When I got selected for the position, a lot of the players, at least six of those kids that were on the team, I taught in junior high school. So they moved. Well, they didn't move, but when they graduated from junior high, they went to Crenshaw. But they didn't play. They weren't playing for me, but they were playing for the other coach who I had helped as providing a police facility for him to practice. Because he came from Manual Arts. He was a white coach, Coach Ryan. And when I was department chairman at Jar Muir, they needed a place to practice because they tore down their gym to build another gym. And they didn't have a place to go. So I made arrangement for him to come and use our facilities because we had two gyms. And they didn't want those varsity guys being on the campus with the junior high school girls. So I arranged for them to be able to do that. So that's where I knew him from. But he was the first coach to go to Crenshaw. And I came, and like I said, he was at Manual. He was the right coach, and they had won championship 1 year. So he was there. And when I went to Crenshaw, you know, I didn't go. I was happy with what positions I had.
You won more basketball games than any other coach in Los Angeles. Coach, if you were coaching today, what would you have to adjust in the way that you coached throughout your career? Would it be maybe the same approach with the athletes?
I think the only difference that I would have made if I was still, you know, coaching there I would probably have to adjust to some of the culture in terms of appearance that the kids are doing now. But as far as the approach in terms of on the court training, I don't think I would do anything different.
Well, you had a winning philosophy that I guess you instilled into the athletes. What was that philosophy?
Well, when I was hired, when I was told that I was going to be the coach, I don't think they had enough time to look for anybody else. Because, like I said, that was the last minute, last week that I found, before school started, I found out I was going to be coaching the varsity team, JV team. And so I only knew 2 years of strategy. Without being able to prepare for the varsity team, the JVD. That had to coach both teams, junior varsity and varsity, with no assistant, especially if they didn't have a credential. There was no walk-on coaches. When I got the position, I was in my mind because it was so late and they didn't talk to me about the position. My mind was saying, I'm not going to give them a reason that they have to look for another coach. Because they didn't think I could have the position. Because as you said, there was only like two African-American coaches in the LA City School that I knew of. Uh-huh. But, you know, I wasn't paying any attention because I wasn't a varsity coach, so it didn't really matter to me. I was officiating at the time I became coach, and I travel around to their varsity games. And, you know, like I said, most of the coaches were white coaches, but coaching black players.
Yeah. I knew it had to be difficult because I know even working with youngsters myself is kind of difficult for me to maintain my sanity, but it seemed like you were able to maintain yours and be successful.
Biggest thing that they were concerned about at that time, after I did my little speech with them the first week of school about what we were going to try to do, was at that time, naturals were in. And when I did all my talking and preparation of what I like to do, all they worried about was I going to make them cut their hair. And I at that time, my B and C team, where they were what we call Cavadas.
Oh, yeah. Type hair.
And they were thinking that I might make them do that. And I said, no, I'm not going to make you cut your hair. I didn't want to have something like hair be in my way of trying to get to the point where they would want to play.
Yeah.
And so by not having that, I just told them they had to keep it neat. I mean, they have it, but they got to keep it neat. It couldn't be all over the head. And they couldn't have a beard. And because at that time I was concerned with appearance for the athletes. Because that's one of the things in getting job selection, you walk in for a job and whether they say it or not, a lot of times decisions are made just by when you walk through the door, because they look at your appearance.
Right.
One of the things that I was emphasizing, and I used to have them wear suit, they had to wear a tie, and most of them did wear a suit or bush jacket in his tube when we traveled to other schools.
But in order to be a winning coach, though, they had to be disciplined. I mean, they had to listen to you. And how'd you get them to do that?
Well, like I said, six of them already knew me from junior high. They knew how I was over there. And, you know, and they saw that I was honest with them. I mean, I was young and I could play with them and do everything.
Okay.
In most cases, but you know, as they got older and you know, they got stronger and stuff like that, but they knew that I was the real thing, you know, in terms of being honest with them and trying to get them prepared. And I told them that time, and I said, this is a job, you know. And they said, what do you mean it's a job? We play basketball. And I said, but you know, if you're trying to go to college, this is a $100,000 job that you're working on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you play ball, but, you know, to get that scholarship, you know, you're going to have that money coming out of you. You know, if you don't have it already, it's got to come out of that scholarship. And I explained what a scholarship consists of. You know, we say 4 years, but in reality, the scholarship is 1 year and renewable every year for 4 years. And depending on the fact that if you're going to be a model citizen while you were at school, in addition to playing basketball, then you would get that 4 years.
So you taught them to look at the whole picture and in order to be successful in their lives.
Right. And I said, you know, it was a lot of hard work. And, you know, I was lucky enough to have players who would listen. And, you know, I listened to them too.
Yeah.
You know, I'd find out, you know, because sometimes, and, you know, later on maybe, that, you know, how I put them in the limelight too. And in addition, it just wasn't all me.
Right, you know? Right, right.
I had to compromise a little bit in their knowledge of the game, because it was still them, and even though I was coaching, it was still them that I had to play the game. And they had to play what I wanted them to do. And, you know, and there were a couple of guys who did miraculous things. You know, you don't teach that.
Yeah.
That's big, you know. And I was lucky to have enough of those kind of guys around me.
Some talented individuals that you worked with.
Yeah, and they did some things, you know, you can say, but certain things you can't do as a coach, you know, a player does it, you know. But you want to do, they've got to do it. And I was lucky enough, especially my first year as varsity coach, and because, you know, even that first championship to get to it, you know, there was one player who came to my rescue, you know, and he, you know, I had 15 guys on the bench, 10 guys on the bench, and I had only one guy who says, "Put me in, coach." He didn't say it, but he raised his finger.
Yeah.
He
said, "Me." Well, we're going to have to wrap it up because our time is running short, but I do appreciate you being with us today. I appreciate this interview very, very much. Thank you, coach. All right, my brothers and sisters, I'm here in the studio with Bishop Gary R. Johnson, Jr. He's the executive producer of a documentary they're putting together for Willie West, Jr. And my brother, Philip Guillory. He is the producer that's working along with the bishop in putting this fantastic documentary together for Willie West, Jr. Now, my brothers, what inspired you to put this documentary together?
Thank you, Mr. Slade. How you doing, first of all? Greetings to everybody. My name is Philip Guillory. I serve as one of the producers on, we're developing the documentary as we speak, you know, so we're not quite to the place of finish, but we are definitely developing. So what I wanted people to really know was about Coach Willie West. I thought he had a spectacular career as a basketball coach. I just feel that a lot of times when you're an African-American coach, you really don't get the same accolades as some of the our Caucasian brothers, you know, who have done also have done well as basketball coaches. And, you know, to me, it was just I thought it was just time to give him his flowers while he's still alive. And, you know, like I said, it's just awesome to see someone, first of all, who has done so much and done so well in that particular field, which, you know, basketball, definitely it's an entertaining sport. But for him to do what he did back in the time he did it was definitely exceptional. So it was very inspiring. And I think it's a good thing to recognize him while he's still with us. So that was my main reason for wanting to get involved in doing the documentary.
You know, that's really great that you two guys have got together to produce this documentary. There's a lot of history in his life, and our young brothers of today need to know about him.
I agree, definitely. And we want to make sure that we preserve our history, especially in the African-American community. There are so many great men and women that I feel haven't been recognized. And we want to make sure that, you know, while we have the opportunity, the resources, and, you know, thank God, I mean, we're a lot younger. We can't even fathom, you know, what happened in the time he was coaching. And, you know, even in the 60s, you know, it was just a whole lot of things we heard about. But it's a difference when you're there, and we weren't. But I feel like it's our duty and our responsibility to uphold the legacies that came before us to give us the opportunities to do what we do right now.
You know, for those of you who are not aware, that I mean, there's a lot of turmoil, racial turmoil today, but imagine what it was back in the 70s. And this brother, Coach Willie West Jr., managed to win 802 games. He got 8 titles, 16 city basketball championships, 28 league titles and the high school international tournament championship in Denmark. He did a lot for Crenshaw High, and he also has a complex there that's named after him, the Willie R. West Jr. Pavilion at Crenshaw High School. So he did a lot, and I'm glad that I'm able to talk with these two brothers. Bishop Johnson, I understand that this film will be coming out soon or sometime next year?
Yeah, definitely. Philip and I have calculated probably within the next 6 months or so. And my goal and job primarily as executive producer is to pull all the some great experts together, such as Philip and Coast. It's great to be working with Brother Willie West and his family, great dear to me. And so we're looking at the next 6 months or so, at least for the documentary. And then we're also looking forward to getting it to the big screen. So it will. Our goal is to make sure that it's premiered around the world.
Well, I understand
so
you got some.
Striving for.
I understand you got some events also planned to go along with the documentary.
Absolutely, our goal is, and I'm reaching out to all of you out there that we're along the way. We want to definitely set up workshops, and we want to set up clinics, and even coach the coaches for those who would like for us to come to their cities and their high schools and junior high. He got a plethora of education, knowledge. Of course, we see one of the greatest coaches, of course, at that time. And also was a coach of baseball. And I just want to let everybody know that they can reach out to me personally on my cell phone is 661-816-9376. And also you can email me as well as see.garyjohnson@gmail.com. And then they can also pull it up by Gary R. Johnson Jr. Enterprises Incorporated consulting firm. And so we want to try to take this not only just through the city of Los Angeles, which we want to really pioneer, because that was a great time and something that happened great in that time, but we definitely want to expand in so many other territories. So we'll be putting out information along the way and trying to keep people in the loop of what's going on along the way.
Brother Guillory, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
We definitely plan on doing a little bit of Bishop said, a tour and things with schools and stuff like that. But mainly we just want to, put out there that we are looking to preserve the legacy of a lot of different young, you know, men and women that have come along the way, even in the city of Los Angeles, which is where I'm from. I'm definitely big on bringing positive stories to the forefront for the city of Los Angeles, and especially legendary people who have done legendary things. I'm so excited about Coach Willie West, his legacy being promoted and also being seen, God willing, worldwide. That's definitely our goal. Mainly, we want to have a piece of history being shown from the time that he was a coach, and also going forward, the excellence that we need to work in and environments of excellence that we need to work in to be successful. And we want to be able to teach the next generation, such as my generation and those that will come after me, you know, that you don't have to go in the way of negative or violence or anything. You can always make decisions and choices that will be affirmative and positive for the next generation. So we're here to leave legacy as well on our end, but also explain his legacy to others that don't know, and let them know that, hey, this type of man can and does inspire the next generation, and we want to be the same and do the same.
My brothers and sisters, this is producer Philip Guillory of Philip Entertainment here in Los Angeles, and we were talking also with Bishop Gary R. Johnson Jr., the CEO at Enterprises Incorporated here in Los Angeles and in Gilbert, Arizona. So I want to thank you two brothers for coming on the radio, coming on my show, and talking with us about your documentary and about Willie West Jr.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Minister Slade. It's always great being with you, sir.